It's time for the Borden News Roundup. Friday mornings, we get a chance to check in with Marshall Helmberger. He's the editor and publisher of the Timberjay. It's a newspaper serving northeastern Minnesota. I'm always glad to talk to you on Friday mornings, Marshall, but especially this week because I want you to help us make sense of a New York Times poll that came out that was drastically different than the last time they did it. And that's for Congressional District 8, which we know is being watched nationally for sure. Tell us what the poll said and kind of the story behind it, why it was so different.
Sure. Well, you know, of course, back in September, the New York Times had done a poll, and it showed that this race was neck and neck, which, of course, was very consistent with past elections. Congressman Nolan, of course, had won very narrowly the past two election cycles, and it seemed like this was going to be another one, and that poll then had confirmed that. I know there's been internal polling by the Radinovich campaign, which shows the race is neck and neck as well. So when the New York Times published a new poll this past weekend, which had Stauber up by 15 points, 49% to 34%, it was obviously a shocker, certainly for the Radinovich campaign as well as for, I think, a lot of just, you know, members of the public who've been watching this race. So, you know, we had to check into why there was such a difference here. And it turns out that there were a few things about this poll that were a little bit odd, including that the New York Times had significantly changed the percentage of Democrats and Republicans who they assumed would be turning out this election. Back in September, they had assumed an electorate that included 34% Democrats, 32% Republicans, and 29% Independents. This happens a lot with polls. Pollsters, they get raw data from just, you know, making the phone calls, but they have to kind of weight the results to try to get a poll that actually reflects the electorate, which is, you know, they have to make some assumptions there because it changes from election to election depending on who's going to turn out. You know, there's a lot of expectation that this year Democrats might be more motivated because, you know, they're in the minority, so that might change how pollsters are weighting their results and, you know, the kind of electorate that they're going to assume. So I think the September poll was probably fairly realistic. It's probably consistent with past elections in the 8th District. But then in the October poll, they changed it very dramatically. They assumed an electorate that included 37% Republicans and only 27% Democrats, and then 29% Independents. So the number of Independents didn't change, but they significantly increased their expectation of Republican turnout and suppressed the turnout of Democrats. It's not really clear why they did that. The Times did follow up on this because they got a fair amount of pushback. I know we had called them about this as well, and talk to the fellow who heads up their polling effort who runs Siena Research. His name is Don Levy, and we did talk to him about it. And he said that, you know, the raw results in this poll weren't really that different. He said if they had used the same electorate that they had assumed in September, it would have only been a four-point margin. They would have had Stauber up by 4 points rather than 15 points. So clearly, it was their decision to change the percentage of turnout between the different parties that had the biggest factor in terms of this poll. So it really came down to the question of, well, how can you make that assumption? The New York Times said they felt that from the results they were getting, that it seemed like there was more Republican enthusiasm. But they also assumed a turnout in this model of 305,000 voters in the district, which would far surpass any previous turnout for a midterm in the 8th District. And they assumed that the vast majority of that additional turnout would be Republican voters. So, you know, you never know. That may be. I mean, maybe Republicans now are motivated more than they were before, but it's not really clear where they're getting that information from. So, you know, I think there certainly was a sense that this poll might have been just really out there. In fact, Nate Cohen, who's the analyst for the Times, who made a lot of these decisions that ended up with this result, he did call the results weird. And they indicated that there may be the possibility that they will re-poll the 8th before the election just because they thought that this was possibly an outlier. I also talked to Donna Victoria, and she's the head of Victoria Research. That's another polling agency out of Washington, D.C. She used to work for the Nolan campaigns in the past and now is working for the Radinovich campaign. And she said that what they're seeing is that the race remains very tight. And she was shocked almost with this poll that was put out by the Times. And in the end, the Times did acknowledge that this poll may have been off by as much as 10 points. And it really was just reflected the fact that they changed the anticipated electorate here. The interesting thing about this, though, is that we've really seen that polls like this can change the dynamics of a race, and I think we maybe have already seen that. According to Donna Victoria, shortly after this poll was published, that the small dollar donations that had been coming into the Radinovich campaign started to slow. And they had been on just a record pace. In fact, in the third quarter, the Radinovich campaign had reported raising $1.25 million in small contributions, which was a record for sure. It was 2.5 times the amount that Stauber's campaign raised in the third quarter. So it certainly showed that they, had some momentum on the fundraising side, which certainly, helps in the stretch. But now that this poll came out, that may be slowing. And there's also been some rumor that we've been unable to confirm that the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee may be pulling some funds from the 8th District. Now, we don't know for sure. The Stauber campaign has put out that line. We haven't gotten confirmation by the DCCC. They say they're not going to indicate one way or another whether they've made that decision. But, clearly, this poll, even if it proves to be inaccurate, may have had an impact on this race, which I guess would be somewhat unfortunate if that turns out to be the case. It's also true that this could, to some degree, reflect a change in the race, particularly in the southern part of the district, where Radinovich has been the target of a huge campaign of negative ads that have been funded by two organizations, two political action committees, that have poured about $6 million combined into these really pretty nasty attack ads, referring to Radinovich as a criminal, for having parking tickets and some speeding tickets and whatnot. And those attacks have been labeled mostly false by fact checkers. But, of course, when these things just keep getting repeated and repeated a million times, they can start to have an impact. And that was interesting in the New York Times poll. It did show that Stauber had opened up his biggest lead in the northern suburbs of the Twin Cities, where probably the familiarity of voters with either candidate was probably pretty limited, since neither Stauber, he's from Duluth, and then Radinovich is from the Crosby area. So they probably weren't well known in the southern part of the district, and these attack ads have largely defined Radinovich in a fairly negative way, so they probably are having some effect. And Radinovich has not seen the kind of independent expenditures from these political action committees, sort of defending him or attacking Stauber. So, he's been kind of bearing the brunt of the attacks, and Stauber's been largely untouched.
Well, yeah, let's stay with Congressional District 8 and find out more about what happened this week with Pete Stauber's emails. First, just kind of lay it out for us, for people who don't know, and then what the administration department had to say about this.
Yeah, well, this issue cropped up here a few weeks ago when the Star Tribune had made a request for Stauber's emails, and it turned out that Stauber had used his county email account, because he is a St. Louis County commissioner, and he had used his county email to communicate. He had several communications with the Republican National Congressional Committee, and the Star Tribune had wanted to see those communications, and the St. Louis County had denied access to those emails, and the Star Tribune had gone to the Department of Administration, and there's a process for doing that. That's something we've done here at the Timberjay a number of times over the years. And you can request an advisory opinion by the Commissioner of Administration, and they will look at your request and see whether or not a local unit of government has acted properly in denying access to government information. And in this case, just this week, the Commissioner of Administration had ruled that St. Louis County had, in fact, not abided by the state's public information laws when it denied access to those emails. Now, in most cases, when you get an advisory opinion like that, the local unit of government will quickly abide. In this case, however, St. Louis County has said, nope, we're not going to release the emails despite the opinion. They made an argument for it. I found it quite weak myself, but, you know, that's their position at this point. The Star Tribune had indicated there's the possibility that they are going to sue. In fact, they had indicated fairly strongly that they would pursue this in court. Of course, you know, by the time any court ruling would happen here, obviously this would be after the election, and whether or not those emails would have any impact on the race at that point would probably be, you know, they'd be moot, unless they were to show that there was some kind of coordination, because that's one of the issues with the RNCC is they do make independent expenditures in political campaigns, and they are not allowed to coordinate their messaging or other activities with candidates. So certainly I'm sure that's one of the things that the Star Tribune and others are interested in looking at with these emails, is whether or not there was some kind of coordination, which, of course, would be a violation of campaign laws. You know, given some of this, you know, it's interesting that Stauber has, to this point, made the decision not to release these emails. He certainly has the right to, even under the law, even if you agreed with St. Louis County's interpretation of the law, Stauber clearly has the right to release these emails if he wants to. So I guess the question might be, you know, why hasn't he at this point? Because it has been at least a minor issue within this campaign, which he could quickly resolve.
That's Marshall Helmberger. This has been the Border News Roundup. You can find more at timberjay.com. Marshall, thanks so much. We'll check in with you next week. Election's getting close.
It sure is.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Heidi.